Hi, I'm Chief Bob Vasquez.
And I'm Dr. Jose Lugo Santiago. Welcome to Leaders and Futures. Let us have a new kind of conversation, one about leading as futures emerge, are yet to happen, or plainly need to be reimagined.
Someone has said that the best way to predict the future is to create it. Although it's impossible to predict the future, one thing is certain, you must lead in it. It's time to think differently about leading.
This podcast is powered by the Institute for Leadership and Strategic Foresight.
Let's get started with today's discussion on leaders and futures. Good to see you again, Dr. Lugo. I took my spring break last week because you forced me to, but Yeah, now I am refreshed, I think. Although, wait a minute, that starts with R-E. I'm fresh.
Yeah, that's right.
Always fresh.
Just
no waste.
Pure energy.
Yes, continuous energy.
Yeah. Well, so that's sometimes. Great because remember one of the things that we talked about last week was that we take that break so we can, you know, recover. Remember one of the things that you talked about there,
right.
Recovering. And that piece had as a prerequisite, or I guess, a prerequisite that we do some reflection. We understand how right looks like, and then we move into the place where we are going to continue to do the performance.
Right.
And so one of the things that that I think it would be good to reflect on, it was, you know, talking about that reflection piece was, you know, what we did a few weeks ago, probably almost a month ago.
Is that with General Spacey, the live podcast that we did? That was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it. I hope you enjoyed it.
And absolutely.
General Spacey shared some really powerful thoughts on there. And in fact, you and I were talking about his infrastructure of leadership. I think that's the term that he used, right?
The infrastructure of leadership. I think that was one of the great points about the general speaking. I'd never heard it that way. I mean, we all do know that there are some principles of leadership, but he went beyond that to say that it is not enough. Knowing something is not enough. It's just if you're going to manage, if you're going to build winning organizations, you have to have an infrastructure in place. And so I thought that was an interesting comment. And one of the things that he mentioned in there was just like on a base has an infrastructure for the Air Force. We know that bases are a platform from where our nation's, you know, air power is delivered, right? We deploy air power from the bases, and the bases require some kind of infrastructure. Make sure all these things are in place so the aircraft can do those things, people can do their work, and, you know, and so on.
Yeah.
And so the same, he is talking about leadership for us to, as a prerequisite of building winning organizations, we needed to have an infrastructure in place.
Yeah. And by the way, if anyone wants to listen to that conversation that we had, we posted it as podcast the last 2 or 3 weeks ago, something like that. You can go back in there. There's part one and part two. So if you want to listen to that whole thing, you're welcome to go back and listen to those. Now, the general said there were, I think, six parts of this infrastructure, right? Am I right? Or am I making that up?
Yeah. And so, you're not making it up. So
okay.
You're good.
I'm old.
No, but yeah, he mentioned about six things that, and I'm looking through my notes in here. Great material for us to think. And one of the things that, so we'll enumerate them and then we can just kind of probably go through some of those that they kind of resonated. He talked about core values as being the number one. Then he said hard work. He mentioned that people need to work and work as hard as long as, you know, things, you know, the goals are challenging. It talks about people being connected to the mission. He also talks about leaders steering away from the gray areas, he said, or not thinking in a lot of people like to use this as an excuse, right? Well, leadership is about the gray area, you know, and his point was, you know, steer away from that. And his point was just give clear direction. Then he also, another point that he had here was don't try, but do. And he mentioned this is about a mindset. Because a lot of people in the mindset is when you say, I'm going to try to do something, the mind already is telling you, you may or may not be successful. But the idea of in infrastructure of leadership is you don't try, you do. So there's a lot of planning. And you go into the field battle understanding that you're going to win. And everybody's going to fight to do that. You're just not going to try to win. You know, we're just going to win. And that is a mindset. The other piece, the other two pieces you talked about was innovation and family. And in regards to innovation, how do you deal with innovation personally? And how does the organization deal with innovation? And the last one, that I mentioned, was family. In one point, one of the points that he mentioned was that the fact that people die or will die for a family member. And that is the kind of environment that the winning organizations have, where people feel so close together that it's about the team. And so people work because they care about each other. And in that caring about each other, they do the best for each other. And of course, that translates into organizational performance.
Well, one of the things, and you know, I've written a book on core values. I used to teach that at the Air Force Academy for about 20 years. Plus, on active duty, I did it for a couple of decades. But one of the things that always strikes me about core values, Lugo, is we think and we assume. I mean, I learned what assume does to me at basic training back in 1972. And we assume that people understand the words that we use. And that's not necessarily so, especially, I think, in this new workforce, because it's so diverse. You know, everywhere that I go, you got people from all kinds of parts of the world. Back in the day, you know, you went to New Mexico, you could expect to see a lot of Hispanics there, and there are. But you know what? There's a lot of Germans. There's a lot of Italians. There's all kinds of different people. I remember going to Holloman Air Force Base one time. That's out in the middle of the desert in New Mexico. I mean, no kidding. There's nothing out there except the base. And as Deb and I drove up, there's a huge sign that says Willkommen. And I'm thinking, what the heck? Because we were stationed in Germany at the time, and we were on spring break probably. But anyway, we saw this sign and said, what happened? Well, there was, I don't think it's there anymore, but there was a wing of German Air Force fighters at Holloman training. For I don't know how long, because like I said, I didn't even know it existed. But anyway, the culture now is very diverse. The language that we use is screwed up, man. I mean, you can't. I have no idea what the youngsters are saying, because they're using words that are not the right words based on the dictionary. Well, we just change the dictionary every. That's what we see. That's the fix. We change the dictionary. We add more words that don't really exist, and then so anyway. But anyway, we assume that people understand what we mean by those, whatever those core values are, when we don't. I don't know that we take enough time to train people in what those mean, and not only the using words, because you know, you and I can we're both conversant in two languages at least, and we can still misunderstand, because the Spanish that you use as a Puerto Ricano is different than the one that I use as a Chicano. And even the terms are, you know, the what we envision as we say, whatever it is we say, pan dulce, to me, I'm seeing something and you're seeing something different. Pastel, mm-hmm. I love pastel, but that's different in Puerto Rico than it is in New Mexico. So anyway, with the problem, part of the problem, I think, with core values, Lugo, is we don't take the time. Somebody, because I've been there, those offsites, so we can come up with our core values. We, 40 of us or whatever, decide that these are our core values for the organization. And then there's all 150 other people that work for us or with us that have no idea, because they weren't in that same meeting. And we don't take the time to address that. I think that's the problem number one with core values. Are they important? Absolutely. They are they're our foundation. But if we don't understand what that means, what those words mean, it doesn't matter.
So it's an interesting point, because actually, if I would think that point one, core values, and he has the other absolutes, are connected, right? That don't accept gray area. That's and the reason I say that they're connected is because I was thinking as you were talking about software development. So when we are automating a particular feature, like for example, I go to an organization, we do process improvement, we lean out the waste, and then we automate. And so when automating the processes, one of the things that we do is we create user stories. We normally meet with the client and we ask, okay, what is it that you need? And the person tells us about, you know, all kinds of requirements. Oh, I want this, I want that, I want that. And so now I have to translate what that person is saying into what I call user stories. And so that way, then I go back to the person and say, is this what you mean? And so now we're communicating the same language. For example, we would say, the person says, I need to be able to, I want a screen with these colors and I can go here. So part of the example in a simple way is, I want to be able to go to this screen, click in here so that I can see the spreadsheet of whatever. So, okay, so that means these things are connected. So now I know this is how it looks. When I think about clicking on the spreadsheet, what it means is I find this the application, I click on it, it comes up, and the particular spreadsheet opens. It's the one that I was looking for. So I can understand how behavior, how what I do translates into the behavior of the system. And then when we meet with the person says, oh, yeah, and that is the what I call the we keep these things in cards. And so this is that is the card that the developer has. So now the developer can take that user story and convert it into what we all agree was going to be. And we're having conversations about how that user story looks like. So then we can add more detail as we are building the software. So in the end, everything looks exactly like we want. And when you are talking about the power of words in regards to core values, and I'm kind of measuring what General Spacey is talking about, you know, stay away from the gray area, is being able to build a clear picture as to what integrity, for example, looks like as a core value. How does excellence look like as a core value in my organization? And so I explain what that means. I'm telling everyone, these are the core values in my organization, but this is how it looks. And so I go through and they can see a picture of how that looks and how that behavior, and that is clarity. And it gets away from understanding or it gets away from you making an interpretation that is completely different to my interpretation, because now we have agreed together on how this core value looks like. And so that's one way to deal with the differences in languages in an organization. And it's going to happen, but I think it's been a proven effective way to do this.
Yeah, and what you're saying really, and I agree, is the best language is modeling. You do it and people will follow. You know, they'll mimic it. You know, I said this for many, many years. People will not necessarily do what you say, but they'll do what you do, because that's how we learn. We talked about this before. We watched our dads do whatever it is that they do that we learned from them. And now we do it because we saw that. And that there was something that we appreciated or learned from our dads doing that particular thing. So that's true. And I agree with everything you're saying, Dougal. But I still contend that leaders don't do that often enough. Now, you're talking about a client. You're having this conversation with a client so that they can help you understand, so that you can help others understand or develop the process, whatever you're working on. But on a daily basis, I don't think leaders talk enough about this. Here's an example. I've mentioned several times that Tessa, my oldest daughter, is a director of I think they call it a child care development center. I don't know. They take care of little kids from 6 months to 7 years old or something like that. And she asked me to go speak, and I did. And my whole top, I don't know, I spent an hour with them, and all I talked about was their mission statement. That's it. Because I, you know, I was trying to help, because she asked me, this is where I want to start, Dad. I want them to understand why they're here and what we do and why we do it. And interestingly, it was almost funny, because I asked to begin with, and there's 30 employees that are teachers. And I asked them, so what's your mission statement? No one knew. No one knew. And some of them, those people had been there for several years. And I'm thinking, wow, that's not good. And then I asked them, well, where would you find it? No one answered. It's like, they don't know where to find this information, this foundation for what they do. And you know what? It's in, as you walk into their building, as you open the front door, it's right there on the wall. A minute, and it's a beautiful, I don't remember what it says, but it's pretty much taking care of these little kids so they can become good citizens, basically. And it's right there. They've been looking at it, or it was there available for them to look at. I don't know whether they did or not, probably not. But, you know, it's there. It doesn't matter, because no one ever made a point, let's talk about this, because this is why we're here. And now Tessa, I give her big props, because that's her thing. Yeah, you know, I don't know, every week or every couple of weeks, she has staff meetings, and the first thing they talk about is that mission statement. Why are we here? And I think, and again, my point is, I don't think organizations do this often enough. It's on the wall. But, and as I used to say, and I still do when I go to an organization that invites me, if the most junior person doesn't know that, and if that person cannot describe what that means, you're failing.
Well, you had the, so the point here that you made, really, the really good point here that you made was the last sentence there. You mentioned, if a person cannot describe. So you see, knowing something, because sometimes they see it on the wall and they could repeat it, but they cannot describe how that looks like, then that is different. But you see, that's the point of the leader. It has to be able to not only tell somebody, hey, look at, you want to know what a mission is? Go and look on the wall. No, the person has to be able to translate what that means in terms of this person's area of responsibility, because everybody has something. If you have something in there, your job is to, you know, fly, fight, and win. And we had, you know, we have heard many times, fly, fight, and win. Well, I'm a finance person. I mean, I don't fly. What do you mean fight? And I don't, I guess I got to win, but I am not in a contest with somebody. And so, well, it sounded like I took my mission statement and I condensed it in three words. But that, what does that mean to me as a finance person? What does that mean to me as a person who, you know, does fitness, for example? And so then it's on the leader got to understand, okay, this is what this means to you, or better than that, tell me where can you see some of these themes in the work that you do? How does the work that you do enable this three things to happen? And that's a better place to be. The other portion that you mentioned was, you know, the mission statement. And the mission statement was about understanding what the organization is going to do. And the general was mentioning hard work as one of the tenets of that infrastructure. And so he mentioned that people like to work, and they will work hard as long as, and number one, you have goals in the organization that are challenging. The people feel connected to the mission, just kind of like what we just talked about, right? What does that mission statement mean to your organization? And they can recognize themselves in these parts of the organization. But challenging goals are very important. And I can see how organizations a lot of times steer away from having work that is challenging, because they think they're going to discourage people. But what we have seen is the opposite. When people are challenged by work, they have to rise. They have to find a way, let's put it that way. The leader is trying, okay, they probably need, do we need to invest more in training? Do we need to invest more in communication? Do we need to invest in how this looks like? And until members of the organization start climbing through those goals and they start achieving, And as they achieve, you're communicating their achievements. Now there is this inspiration in the unit, and all of these things are happening. At the end, on the other side of that, once they're done going through all of that, they look back and like, wow, we're different. They were different now because they were able to see that they could do way more than what they thought it was possible at the beginning. So challenging goals are a very good way to, you know, really move an organization forward. But everybody got to be in it.
Yes. Yeah. Everybody. You're absolutely correct. Everyone from the top to the bottom. So great topics, Lugo. I think we didn't talk about innovation and family. How about let's talk about that next week?
We can. Those are very good topic. Extremely. Yes. Yeah. Especially now with everything that's going on. Right.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm in it.
OK, we'll see you next week.
See you then. Thank you for listening. We hope today's topic connected with you and helped you reflect on the work leaders do to get out of a narrow focus on one future and into a broader range of plausible alternatives.
If you'd like to connect with us, find us at leadersandfutures.com.
And if you would like to learn more about leadership and future studies, we have several programs to help you at the Institute for Leadership and Strategic Foresight.
Until next time, be great.